Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Now you might already be realizing that as we're going through this book of Ephesians, we're in some areas we're not covering very many verses in one day. And the reason is that Ephesians is loaded with great doctrinal material to help us to understand a lot of things about New Testament salvation, Old Testament salvation, the Word of God, the body of Christ, the gifts that were given to that body, the work of the Holy Spirit, the mystery of the Gentiles getting saved, the sealing of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, predestination and what's involved there, the middle wall of partition that was between the Jews and Gentiles. There's just a tremendous amount of great doctrinal material in this book. And so we don't want to run through it. I mean, we could just kind of touch the high points and keep moving, but there's no need to do that. We want to make sure that we have everything covered as much as possible to help you and I to understand what's going on in the Bible, and also to help those that are lost to find Christ in case they're lost. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, we're going to learn about Christ leading captivity captive. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now in verse 11, he's going to talk about what he gave to men and what he gave to the body of Christ there in verse 11. So in verse 7, where he says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, we'll actually deal with the importance of verse 7 when we pick up verse 11 tomorrow. In the meantime, we're very curious about this verse here, verse 8, 9, and 10, where he talks about, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, we're curious about that. Now, what you want to see is that before the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, people who were saved weren't taken directly to heaven. There are three exceptions: Enoch, Moses, and Elijah. Those are three exceptions. But other than that, everybody else was taken to a holding place. They were not taken directly to heaven, and that holding place was called Abraham's bosom. Go with me now to Luke chapter 16 and look at verse 19. Luke chapter 16, look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, now watch this, watch where this guy Lazarus ends up, and watch where this rich man ends up. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into heaven. Is that what it said? No, that's not what it said at all. It said it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. As it turns out, inside the heart of the earth, there were two compartments: Abraham's bosom on the one side and hell on the other side. And in hell, this man could see Abraham, and he could see Lazarus in that compartment. The whole compartment was called Sheol. That's the Hebrew word. I mean, you don't find Sheol listed that way when you read the Old Testament, but that's the Hebrew word for it. One compartment with both places. Verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So they were not separated so far that Lazarus couldn't get there by coming across, and then, you know, this water on the tip of his finger wouldn't dry up by the time he got there. He's just in the next room. But what separated him? Look at verse 26. Abraham said to him, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then they talk some more about what's going on. So what you have in Abraham's bosom is all the Old Testament saints are held there waiting on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, this may be strange to you. You may be scratching your head going, well, I never heard this before. Well, that's because you hadn't heard some of the Bible before. But don't be surprised, there's a whole lot of Bible. A whole lot of Bible a whole lot of people hadn't heard before, and there's a whole lot of Bible that people have heard before, don't know all it says, but they know some of what it says. And what I'm showing you here is stuff that a lot of times you haven't seen. If you have, you're very fortunate to have either been led very well by the Holy Spirit in your Bible study and Bible reading, and if you haven't seen these things, shame on the person who called himself your Bible teacher, particularly if you've been listening to the Bible taught for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. By now you should have at least heard of this one time, because it comes up in various places in the Bible. Now look in Luke chapter 23 at verse 42. Luke chapter 23, look at verse 42. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, now, you know what? Paradise was down there in Abraham's bosom. We know from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, which is up above the great gulf that separates the great deep that separates this universe from where God Almighty is, and the light from the darkness. We know that Paul was caught up into paradise, which was in the third heaven, but before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, paradise was in the heart of the earth. Because he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, where did Jesus go? Well, you just saw that in Ephesians chapter 4. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, he ascended on high, right? But he says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So paradise was down there. And Paul says that Jesus Christ went down, descended into the lower parts of the earth. After the resurrection, paradise is up in heaven, in the third heaven. Now, while Jesus Christ was down there, he did some things. We don't know all that he did, but we do know some of the things he did. For instance, look in 1 Peter chapter 4 at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 4 and look at verse 6. There we read that Jesus Christ preached to some dead people. All right, look at it. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. All right, so these souls are held down in Abraham's bosom. Jesus Christ goes down into paradise. The thief on the cross accompanies him there. Lazarus is there. Abraham is there. And all the Old Testament saints are there. And Jesus Christ says, you know, y'all been sacrificing lambs. Abraham, he says, you know, there was a time when you offered your only begotten son Isaac on an altar, and we stopped you, and you offered a ram in substitute. Abel, you know that you offered a lamb. Cain didn't like it and killed you. You know that there was a Passover lamb that was offered, and the Passover lamb is a picture of me. John the Baptist came and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and my blood was shed that you might be redeemed. And the lamb's blood was shed at the Passover, so that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, my father said. Anyway, he says, so I'm Jesus Christ. I am the fulfillment of all those sacrifices in the Old Testament. I am the Lamb of God. and he preached the gospel to them, his death, burial, and resurrection. Hey, boys, it isn't all down here. We're getting out. He preached also to them that are dead. They were dead. Their bodies were still laid in the tombs. Their souls were alive, but their bodies were dead. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh. That is, when you and I are in the flesh, that's the time you and I have to decide whether or not we'll receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. I already made that decision that I would. My prayer and hope is that you've made that decision as well. Paul said, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. So we have to take care of that business in the flesh. Well, those people couldn't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior back in the Old Testament. He wasn't around for them to receive. There had been no death, burial, and resurrection. So he preached to them so they could be judged according to men in the flesh, as if they had been able to receive him, but live according to God in the Spirit. So he preached to them. Likewise, he also preached to those that were lost. Looked in 1 Peter chapter 3 at verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, the context is the death of Christ, by whom also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. So, he preached unto them as well. He preached in both places, in Abraham's bosom and also in hell. See, guys, this is what you passed up. Now look in Matthew chapter 27 and notice what happened at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 50. The Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So you've got a resurrection of many bodies. Some of the bodies, you've got a resurrection of, not all, but some of the bodies in the Old Testament saints that were asleep, arose at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Watch this, verse 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So a lot of the guys that were buried around Jerusalem raise up at the resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily, and they see him. They see those bodies at night. Now we know that David was not one of those bodies that rose from the dead, because His sepulcher is with us unto this day, Peter said, in speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the foretelling of that resurrection in Psalm 16. David was still in the grave, therefore he had to be talking about the Messiah. Nonetheless, in Matthew chapter 27, you see some of the bodies coming up. The reason is all the souls in Abraham's bosom arose. Some of the bodies in the graves arose. And he took those souls to heaven immediately, beginning on the in the morning of the first day of the week. In other words, at nighttime he arose, fulfilling the full 3 days and three nights, and then the next morning it spotted that his tomb was empty, and then Mary sees him. Then he ascends into heaven and comes right back. And when he ascends into heaven and then comes right back, he takes those souls that were in Abraham's bosom. He takes that blood into heaven, like Hebrews shows us. And then those souls get to stay there. You say, well, now, where in the world do you come up with a strange idea like that? Well, watch it. It's all in the Bible. Look in John chapter 20. It's just from reading the Bible and taking cross-reference of Scripture with Scripture. Watch what happens here. It might have been something that you read over and didn't even catch. Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 15, for instance. Jesus saith unto her, that's Mary, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now watch it. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now you see that? Now we know that he ascended 40 days after his resurrection. And we know that Thomas was able to touch him. Right here he says, you can't touch me because I haven't ascended to my Father. Do you see that? Now watch it. And then verse 19 says, the same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So a lot of things have happened that day. She sees him first thing in the morning, says, touch me not. At that same day in the evening, probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he sees them shut up wherever they were. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. And he sees them in there. All right, now watch what happens in the meantime. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Turn to Matthew chapter 28 and look at verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, all right, now they're no longer at the tomb where Mary had seen him there before. Now they're on the way to tell the disciples, but still way before the time that they see him in the evening when they're in the place where the doors are shut. Verse 9, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came, and what did they do? And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So between the time that he sees Mary at the tomb, where she can't touch him because he has not ascended to his Father, and the time that he sees them as they're running to go tell the disciples, and they do touch him, he's already ascended to his Father and come back. And those souls have gone up with him, and now he's back, and those souls, of course, are not with him. They're now in heaven. That is what the Bible calls in Ephesians chapter 4, he led captivity captive. He took them out of the captivity they had in Abraham's bosom and ascended on high as his captives and deposited them in heaven where they are now. And all of that fulfills the prophecy of Psalm 68, verse 18. Psalm 68, verse 18, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. See that prophecy there? Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. That's what he fulfilled after his resurrection, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Now you'll remember from reading the book of Revelation that John saw Jesus Christ in heaven, which is where he is now. And when John saw him, guess what he found in his hand? Or what he had in his possession. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus Christ said, I am he that liveth and was dead. That's his crucifixion. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Death there is a reference to the place where the souls were held. And it's a little bit deeper, but where the souls are going to be held during the tribulation. All right, now he's got the keys of both places. So when he descended down into the earth there, he got those keys. Evidently, the devil might have had those keys. He got those keys, and now he's got them, and nobody can come out unless he lets them out. And he let those souls that were in there out. He took captivity captive. Now, that's what's going on with Ephesians chapter 4. That's the captivity that's being led captive. That's the rescue of the Old Testament saints in Abraham's bosom and the depositing of them in heaven. But you know something, in the New Testament, our salvation is not like that. You don't go to a holding place like that in the heart of the earth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, you'll remember that we studied about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ that we enjoy in the New Testament. And you saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we have been raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, if you are saved, and when I got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ, not some physical local church here on the earth, but the physical resurrected, ascended body of the Lord Jesus Christ that's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And and raised us up. That's why you go through a baptism that submerses you in water and then brings you out of that water, is to show that you are already raised up together with Christ and are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you're in a place right now that no Old Testament saint ever got to while they were here on the earth. And not only that, then, we see from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that when you die and when I die, immediately we go straight to heaven. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the moment that you drop your robe of flesh in death or at the rapture, and the moment that I drop my robe of flesh at death or at the rapture, we leave this body and we are immediately present with the Lord, which should be no surprise because we are already raised together with him and seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We just drop this flesh and boom, we're there. That's because we're in Christ. So you have a unique situation in the church age where you and I are in the body of Christ and have the opportunity to be with Christ immediately upon death, physically. Now, during the tribulation, things are going to change again. Notice in Revelation chapter 6, during the tribulation, the fourth seal has already opened, and now the fifth seal opens in verse 9. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. What was under the altar? Their bodies? No. Their souls. You see, during the tribulation in Revelation chapter 11, when the two witnesses are beheaded, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, from Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. The bodies are there right there on the street. And they lie there for 3 days and a half. And then they raise up and go into heaven. So he's not talking about their bodies here in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. He's talking about their souls. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Well, why aren't their souls in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the reason is that you and I live in a unique time in history. We live at a time during which some people call the church age. By that I mean, or by that they mean when they say that, that when you and I get saved, we are put into the church. The church is Christ's body over which he is the head. And according to Ephesians chapter 5, we are members of his flesh and of his bones. And so when we die, our souls immediately are present with the Lord. That wasn't true in the Old Testament when they were deposited in Abraham's bosom, and that's not true during the tribulation when they are held under the altar awaiting the vengeance of the Lord. They cried in verse 10 with a loud voice saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Well, when the Lord comes in vengeance, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, then these guys will be freed out from under the altar. But until then, they're held in that temporary place. So those are the things that result as a result of us being in the body of Christ. It's a very unique time. People like to talk a lot of times about salvation being pretty much the same all the way through the Bible, and they get a little bit nervous when you say things change a little bit. But if you can't see the difference between souls under an altar in Revelation 6, 9, and souls in Abraham's bosom in Luke chapter 16, and souls in Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 2 and 5, then, one of the things you have to understand about studying the Bible is that there are similarities and there are contrasts. And when you can contrast something like that, you can see the change. Nobody else in this world is ever put into the body of Christ except for people that are saved during the church. That's why we know, among other things, that the church is not going to go through the tribulation, because the souls of those that are saved are not in the body of Christ. They can't be, because the body is gone. So this is a very interesting thing that we've seen here in Ephesians chapter 4. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He had descended into the lower parts of the earth, freed the souls that were in Abraham's bosom, preached to the souls that were in hell, and then took them straight into heaven with him, and left us in the body of Christ with gifts given to us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And these gifts are the things that we're going to talk about when we get into the broadcast tomorrow. They'll show up from verse 11 to 16 in Ephesians chapter 4. Well, let me just take a couple of minutes here to explain something to you. You've been listening to The Unknown Bible. The Unknown Bible is a broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi. Bible Believers Baptist Church is an independent Bible-believing Baptist church. We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Some people say we're narrow-minded for that, but let me tell you something. Since when did you find somebody toting a modern Bible that showed you these things that the Holy Spirit has shown you today out of Ephesians chapter 4? What's happened is they've modernized these Bibles and milked them down till now the doctrines that help you keep from getting confused are no longer available to those that are teaching and preaching out of those things, because they're so occupied with the Greek and the Hebrew. And people say we get a little fussy about that, but honestly, we don't. The same good Bible has been used for nearly 400 years by the Holy Spirit to lead multitudes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's certainly no reason to change a perfect Bible. In any case, we believe that.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.